I want to read some verses from 1 Kings chapter 3. I read verse 5 through 12 for you, where the Bible says, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And now, O Lord my God," this is Solomon speaking, "thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, but I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people?" And God said, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." And we know the story that Solomon was the wisest man that did ever live, wrote the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and again, was a wise man. Now, he could have asked, when God said, "Just ask whatever you want," he could have asked, said, "I'd like to live to be 600 years old. He could have asked for long life, but he didn't. He could have asked for riches. He didn't. He could have asked for honor. He didn't. He could have asked to have peace in his time. He could have asked for the life of his enemies, that his army would be victorious in any battle that they went into. He didn't. He said, "God, you've put me in a position to lead your people. I'm just a young man, and I need your wisdom to do the job that you've asked me to do." By the way, God was pleased with that request. He gave him all the other things that he didn't ask for, in addition to giving him wisdom. The Bible has a lot to say about wisdom. In Proverbs 16, verse 16, the Bible says, "How much better it is to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver." In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Proverbs 8, 11, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it." Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 12, "Wisdom giveth life to them that have it." Ecclesiastes 9, 16, "Wisdom is better than strength." Proverbs 4, 7, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding." Now again, all those verses that talk about how good wisdom is were written by Solomon. And as you remember the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, "Hey, I've tried everything. God has given me everything. He's given me wealth. He's given me honor. He's given me peace in my day. And I've experienced all that." And he said, "I sought after all that. And when I tried it out, I came to the understanding that everything is vanity and vexation of spirit." You remember he got to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes and he says, "Let's hear the matter. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man." And so the wisest man that ever lived, the man that tried everything and said, "There ain't nothing," he didn't say eight, he had better English than that, but he said, "There ain't nothing better than wisdom." He said, and he said, "Get wisdom. It's the principal thing. And if wisdom is so good, if it's better than gold and silver, if it makes one happy, if it's better than rubies, if it gives life and gives strength," and if Solomon said, the wisest man that ever lived, it's the principal thing, each and every one of us should desire to have wisdom. And I think that we can see in the passage of Scripture that we read some things that God is telling us how to get wisdom. Because you see in Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." We usually think there's three. There were three gifts. Some scholars say that there were over 7,000 that left, and when they got to the Euphrates River, 6,000 turned back, and 1,000 actually made it to where Jesus was. I don't know how many there were. I've always thought there were three because there were three gifts, but there could have been more. And the number's not important tonight, but I want you to notice how God described these men. They were wise men. That's not a title, it's an adjective. They were wise men. What was it about them that caused God to say, "These are wise men"? Because if we can notice what they did for God to call them wise, then we can do the same things and have the same wisdom they did. So tonight, I wanted to point out to you three things. Three things these men did that I think caused God to call them wise men. Number one, they were students of the book. They were students of the Bible. They came from the east, the area of ancient Babylon, where Daniel, according to Daniel 2:48, was chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. We remember, when Jerusalem fell, the Babylonians took the young people, some of the young people, back to their capital. They trained them in their ways. Daniel was one of those young men. He rose up to the ranks of being one of the second in command of the country where he was at. And so when Daniel wrote the book of Daniel in the language of the Babylonians, it wasn't written in Hebrew like much of the other Old Testament. It was written in Chaldean, the language of the Babylonians. And so when he wrote Daniel 9:24-25, where the Bible says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to answer the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. 69 weeks. A week represents a year. A week represents 7 years. So 69 years of weeks. Or 483 years. Daniel said, from the time, and he didn't know that Cyrus was going to do it, but Cyrus was the king that allowed the Jews to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. He said, from the time that that command is given until the time of the Messiah will be 69 weeks of years, or 483 years. So these men that lived in Babylon read what Daniel wrote. I mean, it was the Bible that they had, the Word of God in their language. They read what Daniel wrote. They studied the prophecy. They believed God. They counted the years, and then they saw the star, and they came to where the young child was to worship him. They were wise, I think, first of all, because they were students of the book. They were students of God's word. And if we want wisdom, we need to study this book. You know, I can't think of a better way. I know we got one more Sunday, but I can't think of a better way as we close out the year to remind you that this book is full of wisdom. In Proverbs 2:6, the Bible says, "For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding." What comes out of God's mouth? We have it in this book. I believe every word in the, and I'm a King James man. I preach out of the King James Bible because I believe that that's the version that God wants us to have as an English-speaking people. And so I unashamedly stand on this book, and I believe that this book is the Word of God. I believe that this book is the words that God wants us to have. I believe that this book is the words that came out of God's mouth and will give us wisdom in every area of life. Every area of life. I believe that this book is what we need. If we want to know how to have success, we need to study the Bible. If we want to know how to raise our kids, we need to study the Bible. If we want to know how to have friends, we need to study the Bible. If we want to know how to keep our attitudes right, we need to study the Bible. If we want to know how to ward off depression, we need to study the Bible. If we want to know how to have a good marriage, we need to study the Bible. If we want to know how to build a church, we need to study the Bible. If we want to know how to get things from God and answer to prayer, we need to study the Bible. If we want want to know how to stay pure, we need to study the Bible. And the list goes on. There's hundreds of things that the Bible will tell us how to have. We sing the little chorus. Jameson sings it often. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. That's the only book that we need because it is a book of wisdom. And so many times, we take it for granted. So many times we leave it unopened. So many times we don't spend the time that we should in the Word of God. I'm so grateful for all the people that have reported to me this year and some two or three times that they've read through the Bible. I think that's the way to do it. I think at least one time a year, every Christian ought to read it from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. I believe in Bible study. I believe you ought to spend more time in passages that God leads you to. I'm not saying that's the only thing that you should do, but it's one thing that every Christian should do is make it through the Bible from cover to cover at least one time a year. So they were wise because they were students of the book. Again, I don't think they had much. But what they had, they read, they studied, they believed God when he said it. They counted the years, and when the star appeared, they came looking for the king. And that's my second point. They were wise because they saw Jesus as king. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, where is he that is born king of the Jews? You know, in our society today, because of the kind of government we have, we don't really understand what it is to have a king like they had in Bible days. You remember when the people came to Samuel and they said, we want a king. We want to be like everybody else. They were at that point judged by judges. Samuel was a prophet and a judge, and he ruled the people. God spoke to his people through him. But the people came to him and said, hey, we want to be like everybody else. We want a king. And Samuel went to God and he said, oh, they've rejected me. And God said, no, they haven't rejected you. They've rejected me. I'm going to give them a king, but I want you to tell them what a king, their king, is going to be like. Their king is going to have absolute power. Their king doesn't have to explain what he's doing. He can just do whatever he wants. Their king can conscript their children, can take their land, can take their wealth. He can take anything he wants because as their king, he has power and can take anything that he wants. He is sovereign. His word is law. If he tells you to do something, don't try to argue with him. Don't try to have him see your point of view. As a king, I'm going to give you a king, and if he tells you to do something, just do it. Be obedient, because there is no recourse. Well, when these wise men came, they said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" And they were wise because they saw Jesus as king. They saw him as a sovereign God. I want to tell you something. December the 23rd, 2012, God is still sovereign. God is our king. And if we saw him as king and understand that he has all the rights and the privileges of a king that they did in Saul's day, in David's day, in Solomon's day, we would be wise to understand that he is king. He doesn't have to explain to us what's going on in our life. It's okay for us to go to God and say, why? But I want to tell you something. God does not owe any of us an explanation. He is king. And everything that we have belongs to him. If he wants to take our wives or our husbands, if he wants to take our children, if he wants to take our wealth, if he wants to take our health, he has every right as king to do that. And again, many, many times we want to go to him. We want to say, why? And sometimes God says, I ain't going to tell you. Just trust me. Just trust me. He's our king. He's sovereign. He rules. So they saw God as king. And if we want the same wisdom that they have, we need to be into this book, and we need to see God as king. And then number three, they were wise because they came to the king. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. It was a long journey back in that day. Probably much personal sacrifice to make it. But they came to the king. I don't know if they expected him to be sitting on a throne, to be an adult, to be ready to rule. But when they stepped into that house where Jesus was, the Holy Spirit told them, hey, this is the one you're looking for. Maybe not what you expected. Maybe not a little baby or a young child, as the Bible says. Maybe that's not where you were expecting. But the Holy Spirit says, this is the one you're looking for. The Bible says they brought him gifts, gold. Gold was given as a tribute to King, recognizing the royalty, the sovereignty that Jesus had. Frankincense represents the praise and prayer to God. They were saying, we recognize you as God. And myrrh was used back in that day to embalm the dead. And I'm sure they didn't understand it completely, but the Holy Spirit must have gave them an idea that this one was going to die, pay the price of our sins. Let me ask you tonight, do you want that same wisdom that these men had? It's a principal thing. Solomon said, hey, in everything you get, don't forget wisdom. Get wisdom. We can have it the same way they did, by getting in this book, making this book our guidebook, making this book our counselor, making this book our how-to-live book in every area of life. We can have that same wisdom by seeing Jesus as King. He's sovereign. He can do anything he wants. He doesn't have to explain it to us. I talk to people all the time and said, preacher, you think when we get to heaven that God will explain to us everything he's done in our life? I said, I don't know. I don't think it'll make any difference when we get there. Don't think it'll make any difference. He's a king. We need to see him as king. And then we need to come to him. We need to come to him. Wisdom is the principal thing. Get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. Let me ask you tonight. If you're here and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, it's a wise thing to understand that you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. It's a wise thing to understand that the Bible tells us that there's a penalty for that sin, and the penalty is death, separation from God. It's a wise thing to understand what we celebrate at Christmas, that God sent his Son to be his Lamb, to live and then to die and pay for our sins. We laid him in a grave. I mean, this is part of the Christmas story. We laid him in a grave. He stayed for 3 days and three nights. And then up from the grave, he arose. And because of his death, burial, and resurrection, he's able to offer to each person the gift of eternal life. But you need to come to him. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, I know I'm speaking to the Sunday night crowd. I know most of you are saved. But by chance, if there's one here tonight that's never asked Jesus to be your Savior, tonight, would you know that you're a sinner? There's a penalty for that sin. Jesus paid the price. And if you come to him, he'll save you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth that's in it. Thank you for the wisdom that it gives. And I pray tonight, if there is one here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, they'll start their journey toward wisdom by coming to Christ. First step to getting wisdom is to come and ask Jesus to save them. So I pray that in a second when we sing, they'll get up from their seat, walk down the aisle, and we'll let us take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to desire the wisdom that Solomon did and know that it only comes from you. I pray you'll bless this time of invitation. Direct us, Holy Spirit. Help us to be obedient. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.